Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Steve Williamson, who is Supply Chain Support Specialist at Kewl. And today we're going to talk about, it isn't that simple, managing the complexity of parcel shipping. One of my predictions for 2016 was that parcel shipping was going to kind of come out of the shadows and become an even more important mode for manufacturers, retailers, and others. More so than it has ever been. Obviously, e-commerce, omni-channel playing a big part of it, but as well as other trends. And for a lot of, shippers, parcel shipping is either relatively new to them, or because it is becoming a larger part of their transportation spend, they're recognizing that, it does have some unique complexities to it relative to other modes in terms of how to manage it effectively. And that has implications on the technology side as well, particularly with transportation management systems. So we're going to kind of dive into a little bit about, those unique, complexities and requirements and kind of how that translates into the technology side of things. And certainly, very privileged to have with us Steve here today, who's, has a wealth of experience in this area and can share some great insights and advice on this area. Just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Steve, as he and I are, having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button or the chat feature, and I'll keep an eye on it. And if it's a good and appropriate question, I'll certainly try to weave it into the conversation. I do want to remind you that if you are joining us as a visitor, you do have to sign in first with Spreecast in order to be able to ask a question. So with that, Steve, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Now, Steve, as a as I always do with first-time guests on Talking Logistics, I always like to get a little bit of background in terms of how and why you got involved in this industry to begin with. So, why don't we start there? Why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path? How and why you got involved with supply chain logistics and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Kewl.
Yeah, great. Thanks again. Thanks for having me. I started about 19 years ago in the parcel space. I was fortunate enough to work for a company that was really bleeding edge in the multi-carrier parcel market and was the first provider that provided multi-carrier. There were a lot of single carrier solutions back in that day, but we started in the DOS days and worked our way up now through Windows and into the enterprise markets. And I've had that ability to kind of sit back and absorb and learn from people around me and from the industry in general and really get a good grasp on why parcel is different, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, no, you brought up a good point there. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about TMS and the evolution of systems. But it's been a big transition there in terms of really having no solutions to having to access multiple carrier solutions to having multi-carrier solutions. And now kind of, talking about broader TMS applications that have, parcel within them. So, 19 years in the industry, you certainly have a great perspective on the evolution that parcel shipping has taken both as a mode and as well as from a technology side. So let's get right into the conversation here. Like I said in my opening, for a lot of shippers, parcel is a growing part of their, transportation operations. And, in some cases, it's a relatively new mode for them. I mean, what differentiates parcel from, other transportation modes, let's say truckload or less than truckload? And what are some of the unique, complexities that are involved?
Yeah, great question. As you pointed out, when you think about other modes, often there's a lot of regulations. So you talk less than truckload or truckload, they tend to fall into the same window of doing service. When I say doing service, following the same rules. Parcel's an open book. They determine what they can do and how they do it. While there are some similarities, you will find as you peel back the logo that there are very, very different underneath those. And what has happened is that you have carriers that have expanded through acquisition, so DHL, TNT, FedEx, UPS, and what they may do here in the United States versus what they do in Canada versus what they do in Europe are completely different. And that just adds to that complexity of saying, geez, not only is parcel in itself unique in how it's rated and how it's zoned, the special services that they love to add on to parcel shipments. But on top of that, because there are companies that have just grown, as I described, through acquisition, it enables them to have different rules underneath it in regards to that. The other components is that there's a lot of – everyone's trying to do as much as they can to capture as much as they can of the supply chain. So when you look at parcel movements, what used to be a parcel movement of UPS handling it from point A to point B is now UPS handling it from point A to point – we'll call it A plus, and then postal taking it from A plus to B. So there's then rating complexities that even get added into what would be just a standard parcel movement.
You know, that's interesting that that last point is the reality that because of, you know, the dynamic environment that we're in today and different business models, you know, particularly with the rise of e-commerce as a great example, you know, that last scenario that you talked about, you know, in many cases, it's not just one carrier involved, you know, from point A to point B. You know, there are these handoffs, and, you know, from a rating perspective, you know, from a visibility perspective, from a, you know, how much are we spending in parcel perspective? I mean, this whole visibility thing, is that an area that, you know, is another challenge when it comes to parcel, is kind of having that end-to-end visibility and that understanding of rates, you know, customer service, so on and so forth?
Yeah, when you mix in, to your point, there's multiple facets, right, that you're concerned with when you start talking about sometimes referred to as last mile services, where you have one carrier handling one leg of it, another carrier handling another leg, and I've seen as much as three carriers and three legs, especially with global logistics. You know, visibility is definitely a concern, so the trackability, having that ability to be able to tie those legs together. And then, of course, to appropriately calculate a rate. You know, a lot of the carriers are trying to make it easier. They're getting better. So your UPS services that are out there, like SurePost, down to FedEx services like SmartPost, are tying those in and being able to say, all right, I understand it's a $10 movement, but in reality, underneath it may be, you know, $6 to one and $4 to the other.
Right, right. Now, one of the things that you hear a lot when you talk about parcel shipping is carrier compliance. And I know for all the years that I've been kind of following the space, I mean, that's something that always, you know, rises to the top in terms of conversation. I mean, what exactly does carrier compliance mean? I mean, what's all, you know, what's involved with it, and how do you, as a shipper, how do you make sure that you're staying compliant with it?
Yeah, great question. So, carrier compliance, to keep it very simple, is a rule book. Each carrier has their own book, and in it, if you open it up, are the rules of how you do business with that carrier. So to keep it simple, when you're shipping a parcel movement, you have a label requirement, you have a rating requirement, you have often an electronic upload of some type that you're giving to carriers, and you have other things like tracking and end-of-day reports. So the carrier says, here's my rule book, here's my carrier compliance that you need to follow in order to do business with me. So that's, at a very general sense, what carrier compliance is. And what makes it interesting is that rule book changes, often yearly, and it can be as much as twice or three times a year. So if you take the post office, they typically change twice a year. So not only do you have this rule book that you have to follow to begin with and create, but then you have this ability that you have to maintain it. So it's not only creating carrier compliance, but it's maintaining carrier compliance. And as you kind of pointed out a little bit earlier, what makes that, I guess, just hard is that it's different than the other modes, because the other modes follow some standards. So you have a VIX bill of lading or a bill of lading. You have class factors for LTL rating. You have, you know, mile-based rating with truckload. Yes, there are dynamics to that that make it slightly more complex. But in general, they're all following very similar rules. Parcel world, it's not. So you have a UPS that has their rule book, and then you have a FedEx that has your rule book. And we've all done business with parcel carriers. So when you look at a FedEx label, you know it's entirely different than a UPS label. And that's just what makes it hard. And I've seen a lot of companies do it okay. I've seen a few companies do it well. And I've seen some companies that don't do it very well. So because it's one thing to create the compliance, it's a whole nother thing to maintain that compliance. And that's one of the the challenges that Keywell has in the industry. And when you think about TMSs, the challenges that they have is, you know, okay, I can support these modes, but this parcel mode kind of sticks out.
Yeah, I know. Having covered the TMS space now for almost 20 years, parcel was always that one mode that often was kind of, excluded from a TMS early, in the early days, right? Or they were kind of in the realm of individual specialized providers, because a lot of the traditional TMS vendors just didn't want to get involved, with the compliance aspect of it, because right. It was, very time consuming, and it was not a pure technology play, if you will. It was an ongoing, challenge and something they had to keep a focus on. And we'll get back to that point. But kind of building off a little bit more around the compliance piece. I mean, are you seeing these rule books, as you put it? I mean, are they getting more complex over? Have they gotten more complex over the years? And do they differ by you talked about differences in geographic regions and things like that. Do they also differ by geography?
It's a great question. So they are getting more complex in some situations, especially as we just were talking about last mile services. So you're looking at, not only do you have a UPS label, but you have some level of postal compliance that you're also adhering to on labels. So they are getting slightly more complicated as the supply chain gets more complicated. And as you point out, with global companies, the rule books do change. And because you have the same initials on the side of the truck, a lot of companies think, geez, so I want to use DHL globally, or I want to use UPS globally, I want to use these carriers globally, I'll go find a provider that can just support that for me, whether it's a TMS that has parcel or strictly a parcel provider. And the quick answer is that's not easy to do. The carriers themselves have, because they have these rule books, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get everyone onto what you call a global standard. But they have challenges in themselves of making sure that they can support the unique characteristics of countries, the unique labeling requirements that governments have, and the rating requirements. So, shipping here in the U.S., where we're, very much a postal base, this postal code to that postal code. As we know, when you get into some countries, you don't have those. You may not even have a postal code system. So the rating algorithms are just much different in some countries. And that just makes it difficult to have a global standard that a carrier can provide to a provider like Keywell.
No, great, great point. And I think especially in this day and age where, one of the trends that, when I talk about parcel and my prediction for this year, not only was it going to come out of the shadows, as I said, but I think one of the key areas for growth is going to be international or cross-border e-commerce, and parcel played a key role in that. And obviously that's going to have a ripple effect on, the ability for companies to manage and execute parcel shipments across borders. So which brings me to my next question. I mean, with the rise in shipping activity, that's driving demand for, parcel capabilities in TMS. I mean, first, how have parcel solutions evolved over the years, right? And what, what's new and different today?
Yeah, so let's explore that a little bit. So part of the technology change has really been, again, we alluded to this a little bit, has been the movement from more local-based carrier systems to enterprise systems. An enterprise system, specifically the parcel system, has really become also an appliance. And what I mean by that is because technology has grown, we have this flexibility now of using these systems behind TMSs and having it be leveraged as, I use the word appliance, but essentially you're not interacting with it. It's sitting behind the scenes, and it's, out comes a postal rate or a UPS rate. But from a systems perspective, that's the flexibility that it has provided. The other kind of important growth area that has happened and what's different today is the broadness in carriers. While we think we have very much a major two pony race here in the U.S., speaking for the U.S., right? We always say, it's UPS and FedEx, with the fallout of DHL. The quick answer is that's not so true. There are a lot of regional carriers, parcel carriers, that are taking great hold in that particular area. And there's even alliances between regional carriers that have grown over the years that enable a shipper to be able to leverage, of course, the big guys, but also to get potentially better delivery windows with better rates with regional carriers. So you find systems like ours now being asked to do things like zone skipping, do things like line haul support, so that it enables a shipper to have that flexibility of being able to calculate rates. Even though I'm not in Colorado, I can act like I'm shipping from Colorado. The other last kind of major point that I would say around just the technology and the growth is with the internet and the ability of carriers, there are parcel providers that are just kind of different. What I mean by different is that you have a group of providers that fall into what I refer to as the web service based systems and then premise based systems. What I mean by that is carriers themselves, I talked about the rule book earlier. And giving you the rule book. Here's the rule book. And you want to do business with me? Here's the rule book. Well, they do have another option. And that option is, well, if you don't want to build that rule book, I'll give you a smaller rule book. And all you got to do is call my web service. So it enables you to call the back end of UPS or FedEx if they have that technology stack. You can get back rates and labels, and that's a very viable option in the marketplace today. And there's a lot of providers in the space that do that. Versus doing what I would call the bigger rule book, the premise-based, where I'm building the whole UPS compliance and I'm not going out to their particular website. So technology has kind of taken and enabled customers to look at providers to say, well, what type of provider are you in regards to how you do things?
You know, you touched on something that was something I also talked about in my predictions was kind of the increased role of APIs and web services, you know, across the technology world, if you will. And you referred there, I mean, which is really what you were talking about there at the end. And you referred to kind of a smaller rule book versus a broader, you know, rule book. I mean, are there pros and cons to kind of leveraging the API or web services route versus kind of the more traditional approach? What would lend the shipper or technology provider to, you know, go one route versus the other?
Yeah, there's definitely pros and cons. We could spend a long time kind of, you know, debating whether those are good or bad. I think what it really comes down to is that while there are web services, the web services don't often support everything. So new services that come out, last mile services. And the other important component is just speed, latency. If I'm leveraging something that goes across the internet, as we all know, there's a slight price you often pay in time to do that. So if I'm a shipper and I'm doing, you know, 100,000 packages of parcel movements a day versus I'm doing 1,000 parcel movements a day, it's a much different world. And, you know, if we have time, we'll talk more in depth about the advantages to TMS providers and working with some TMS providers. But that is definitely an option for certain carriers and then, certain shippers, and then other shippers is just not an option for them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So let's talk now about, you know, TMS. And certainly, you know, I mentioned before that, you know, if you went back 10, 15 years ago, you know, a lot of TMS solutions didn't support parcel, right? If you were a shipper that did parcel and truckload, less than truckload and other modes, you basically had to have at least two solutions, you know, one to handle, you know, truckload, less than truckload, and then you had to have another solution to, you know, do parcel, and then you had to figure out a way to integrate them, if at all. You know, you fast forward to today and you're seeing more and more, you know, TMS providers bringing, you know, all that under a common umbrella. You know, certainly at Keywell, you know, you have your software as a service, you know, TMS, and you've had this, strong parcel capability for a long time. And now those things are coming together even within, you know, kind of the Keywell umbrella. So, I mean, how has that evolved from a TMS standpoint? And, you know, when it comes to a shipper, I mean, what kind of capabilities, you know, planning and execution capabilities should they look for in a TMS solution to handle, you know, some of these complexities around parcel?
Yeah, I kind of look at it as there's really three types of TMS parcel offerings that are available to shippers in the marketplace. So if I'm looking at TMS providers and they say, hey, I've got that parcel, right? I've got that mode covered. I usually break that down in three ways for our shippers. The first one is how did that TMS come about to support parcel? Did they partner? So are they really partnering with someone? And that's common in the marketplace, as you alluded to, right? It's been out there for years where you had TMS providers that said, I don't want to touch that parcel market. So I'm going to partner with a best of breed solution, a Keywell solution, or someone else in the marketplace. And that allows them to build an interface. And I think if I'm a shipper, one of the important questions that I ask around that are they committed to that partnership? Are they just building it for my project? And that's something I'm going to have to own, or is that part of their strategy moving forward, is supporting that partnership and having, whether it's, again, a Keywell or a third party, having that third party integrated to it. The second kind of, I call it category of TMS data parcel is, did they build it? Have they built it as part of their offering? So they took their TMS, they decided that they're going to commit to that parcel space, and have they built it? And that kind of goes into the question that we just answered a little while ago, which talks about, well, what type of parcel did they build? Did they build an interface into the web services? And that may work very well for someone. Or did they build compliance? So you take that rule book analogy that I was describing earlier. Did they take the little rule book or the big rule book? And look at that. And then the third option would be something similar to what Keywell, as you just alluded to, which is, did they buy someone? Right, so do they have a best of breed TMS, a best of breed parcel, and are they bringing those two worlds together? So from a planning and execution, that gives them, I call it comfort in knowing that, okay, if I have a best of breed in both of those scenarios, that I can feel confident that I'm going to have the expansion that I might need down the road to meet some of those requirements. So I always say, from a shipper, try to categorize your TMS when it comes to the parcel movements. Make sure that you understand really where they're coming from, and that you just have a good understanding of that, because you could get burnt real quickly by something as simple as what services of parcel do they support within a particular carrier.
Yeah, no, good point, and good framework to kind of look at things. I mean, the other part I think that's also a little bit, confusing sometimes, I would say, is that you also have folks that might look at parcel from a warehouse management standpoint, right? Because it may be something that they're looking to apply labels or, and more in a warehouse environment. So I've had shippers sometimes say, well, is parcel kind of really a TMS, or is it more of a WMS type of application? Because I think it kind of spans, both. I mean, how do you, what is the role of parcel within a warehouse management system or warehousing environment? How are some of your customers, working with that?
Great question. So I think from my experience, what I have found is that, to your point, it's often tightly leveraged and utilized, of course, in the TMS space for helping, as you said, planning and being able to optimize and make sure you're choosing the right modes and do all that. But when it really comes to shipping it, like, okay, now I want to execute this. A lot of shippers have warehouses, right? So they're, pulling things within orders and picking and packing and maybe putting it in boxes, and then they want to put this label on it to be able to execute it and put it out the door. And the relationship and the tight integration, as I described, is really, really important for a parcel system. When it comes to execution, so you take the planning side out of it, you run through your plan, you've got everything there, and now you want to produce those, you'll see that really parcel's role in that is supporting, again, as an appliance potentially behind the scenes, so I don't leave my WMS, I'm staying within that workflow. And from a user perspective, they often think that the parcel system is part of that WMS. So your point, as you were bringing up, is that it does have that capability of appearing as if it's, oh, I push this button in my WMS and here comes my label. But in reality, it is a system that's driving that behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, great point. I think that's where, I like the term appliance. And I think this is another area, again, where those APIs and web services come into play in terms of being able to enable those types of processes. So let's talk a little bit about, give some examples, some use case customer examples of, how leading companies are, leveraging, parcel solutions to, manage, the complexities of parcel shipping.
Yeah, let me think of a couple here. So we have a large manufacturer, And I would categorize them as a just-in-time manufacturer. So they have an assembly line that's running, but what they don't want to do is they don't want to have a bunch of parts waiting on the shelf. They're expensive, and subsequently they want to be able to control their vendor, their supplier, shipping those parts to them. So they have a TMS solution, and then they have a parcel system, the Keywell parcel system. And what this enables them to do is to be able to plan shipments that can arrive literally the day of, worst case, the day before they are needed on the assembly line. So they have this really nice, elaborate, I'll call it design, that they've created between the TMS and the parcel system that enables them to plan and then to execute. And they reach out to some 2,000 vendors that they have and be able to tell that vendor, here's the part that I'm asking for you. Here's the label. Let's say the parcel label that I want. And it's labeled so that they can then deliver it directly to their manufacturing sites. So to speak, as soon as the parcel carrier is backing up to the door, they're pulling it off, they're, cutting the tape, and they're using that part just in time, i.e. for their assembly. And that's been very, very important to them because they don't have millions of dollars in, we'll just call it stuff, sitting on the shelf. They're, spending their money as they need it. And the other thing is they're controlling those supplier inbound shipments. So suppliers don't have the flexibility to say, oh, I'll ship this with a very expensive overnight service if it can get there on a ground in the same time frame. So just in time being, it may still require a ground, or it should say require, or fit a ground level shipment versus an expedited shipment. So it was very important for them to have that relationship between a TMS solution and a parcel system and be able to not only plan but to execute. And that was, a large manufacturer that was doing things globally for their supplier network. Thinking of a second one, I'll take more of an omni-channel strategy on this particular example. So we partnered with a company that has what I would call, they're implementing their omni-channel strategy across their stores, distribution centers. And what their challenges were is, again, they have a TMS, and they were really looking to gain a lot of more control, a lot more visibility from an enterprise level in controlling those parcel movements. So tie in the planning, of course, within the TMS, but also then look at the execution of being able to support what you'll call any node to any node style shipping. So if I can take out a step in the supply chain so it doesn't have to come from my distribution center, it can come from my store directly to someone if they order it, even better for them, right? It saves them on and having that supply chain cost in moving it from their distribution center. And they've even gone as far as now they're going to expand, similar to my first example, they're going to expand into controlling suppliers and being able to say, I need to not only tell that supplier that they need to fulfill this order, but give them guidance on what carrier to use, what service to use, because in the end, they're paying for it. So the expansion, we talked earlier about, what has changed in the marketplace and how has these parcel systems evolved. And it's really all about, as we know, cost control, making sure you're using the right modes for the right deliveries so that the relationship between TMS and parcel has been getting even more so. And as you alluded to in some of your predictions, you look at e-commerce and you look at cross-border movements and being able to fulfill. If I've got stores here in the U.S., stores, let's say, in Canada, but I'm just across the border in let's say, the United States, but there's a Canadian store really close to me, well, I still might want to move that. So the importance of having that flexibility to maybe come back across and fulfill that type of order, we have found to be getting more and more important in the marketplace.
Now, two great examples there. I particularly like the first one because it is a manufacturer. I think a lot of folks, when they think of parcel because of e-commerce, they tend to think about retailers, right? But the reality is that this is becoming an important part of manufacturers' transportation, networks and strategies and budgets as well. And as you noted, two examples here of different types of companies leveraging this. And I love the inbound aspect of it as well, which I think is another, kind of a different perspective than what you normally think of purely, direct to consumer outbound. There's that inbound component as well. You know, Steve, we're kind of running short on time here, so I'm just going to go right to my last question here. You know, as a way to wrap up, I mean, what questions should, you know, shippers ask themselves to assess whether their, you know, technology capabilities and processes are well aligned with being able to meet the complexities of parcel shipping?
Yeah, so the most important piece, and we've talked a little bit about that, is just taking a look at what type of parcel systems being offered to them. So when they take a look at, let's say, a TMS provider, as we talked about, is, you know, can they peel that parcel system back and say what type of, as we talked about, those three levels of parcel system. So once they have that identified, I think then they just have to think about the future. You know, if the way that they look today is the way that they're going to look tomorrow, well, then great, you know, good for them. But if they do expect change, if they do expect acquisitions, if they do look at cross-border, as you point out, right, I'm going to start moving things cross-border, last-mile services, direct-to-consumer versus B2B, all of these types of questions, you know, I don't say I put down on a list, but I do in my mind, I kind of check them off as I'm talking to prospects to say, you know, you might have simplistic needs today, but tomorrow those may change. And if you anticipate that, make sure you're partnering with someone or you're at least evaluating someone that can meet those types of changes.
A great, great recommendation, and particularly looking forward toward the future. I mean, if you look at all the signals out there, they all point to the same direction, and that is that parcel is going to continue to play a bigger and bigger role in the transportation operations and processes of, again, both manufacturers and retailers, distributors, and even 3PL. So I think, you know, this is an area that, you know, if companies aren't very involved with, you know, shippers aren't very involved with parcel today, they certainly will be, I believe, most companies, you know, in the years ahead. You know, Steve, like I always say, you know, at the end of all our programs here, we always manage just to scratch the surface on these topics, but I think we hit a lot of the high points today and some of the things to, you know, for shippers to really be thinking about as they move forward and think about the role of parcel and how to manage the complexities of it within their operation. So thank you very much for, you know, making the time to be with us today and sharing, you know, your thoughts and insights on this.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this program on demand and you do have a question for Steve, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post a question or comment there, and I'm sure Steve will be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.